This is the Morning Conversation on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Morning Conversation, a presentation of Concrete Builders Supply. And we'll do a check-in now with State Senator Floyd Prezansky. Floyd, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Colin. Hope you're doing well.
And obviously, a busy time. First of all, for you, how does that affect your day job as a prosecutor with the current situation? I know that my understanding is that some of the courts are still going as normal, but there have been some changes, and just curious about that as we begin our conversation.
My courts have basically closed except for in-custody arraignments or other pressing matters that cannot wait based on timelines. So the city of Florence, their court has been closed for 3 weeks. 2 weeks, excuse me. 17th of March was the last, and then there's a 60-day hold on most work within the Eugene Municipal Court as well. So it's given me more idle time. I'm still, of course, handling stuff by phone with law enforcement issues, but for the most part, the court is, has tried to distance individuals by not having them required to show up in close quarters.
All right, and as a lawmaker representing Northern Douglas County and parts of Lane County as well, what has your time in that arena been like lately?
Unbelievable. Of course, we're not meeting in Salem. We're doing everything remotely. The number of phone calls or video conferencing that I'm doing is extraordinary as to the events that we're faced with.
And now there was talk several days ago of a potential special session. Where does that stand?
At this point, it's really the call of the governor. The governor, as all know, has indicated or declared a state of emergency. She is now basically the point person for the state to lead us through this process. Because of the CARES Act, that's the federal bill that passed last Friday, about an 800-page document, regarding how much of the $2 trillion that had been allocated nationwide will be coming to Oregon and what strings will be attached to it for what services, what benefits, and programs. She is holding back and not wanting to call us in until we have the bigger picture of what resources we have from the federal government, what resources do we have available here, which, of course, are frightening as to knowing that revenues will be down, but then bringing us in for strategically where she needs us to actually work on making policy decisions and changes for the crisis that we're faced with.
I'm curious, because this came up last week with Congress, is there a system in place where the legislature could essentially meet remotely?
That is a golden question. I will tell you that we've gotten multiple answers. We believe that the Senate, based on our rules that we have that we internally work with, does permit for that type of remote voting and participation. The House, as their rules appear to have more limitations on it. Of course, my perspective on this, we're in a crisis situation, and even though internal rules may provide for one thing, we have to think of the bigger picture. And, of course, when we are messaging to everyone the importance, and it is so important that we have, quote-unquote, the social distancing or physical distancing, whatever you want to call it, of 6 feet apart or more, I don't think it's the best example for the legislature to be going in such close quarters to conduct work that we could, in fact, do remotely. We have the technology to do it, and it would be the more prudent thing to do. You can see around the country where this has not happened. You take the state of Georgia, where some representative was tested on a Saturday, felt good enough to go to work on Monday into the legislature, and now he turned out on Wednesday of that week to be positive. And they were looking at whether they needed to quarantine, or at least self-quarantine, all of the legislators in Georgia. So those are the type of mistakes that we just can't make.
And, of course, if you gathered everyone in Salem, you're coming from all over the state, and even with social distancing, you go back to where you came from and, you know, et cetera. There's just a lot of potential issues there.
There really is. And the unfortunate part, which a lot of individuals, and I will say for the youth of Oregon, you have to realize, I know there were some mixed messages that came out in the beginning saying the profile was for 60 years of age and older and those with underlying health conditions. But the reality is it's hitting everyone. And even though you may not come down and get impacted to the level that some have, including youth who have actually died from this and nationally, we need to be thinking about being a common carrier of taking this flu, and distributing it to your loved ones and others that you care for. So it's very, very important that we do the best we can to protect not only ourselves, but realize that while we're protecting ourselves, we're protecting all of the individuals we come in contact with.
How is state government doing with the current situation in terms of locking buildings, things like that?
Well, there's different things that have occurred as to how they are proceeding as to conducting business. I cannot give you a list of what each and every agency has done. Most of them have, in fact, closed to the general public, trying to do communications through other means. I think the state courts is one of the good examples. Of course, that's the judicial branch of Oregon's government, and they've instituted various orders closing the facilities and then allowing them to operate on some limited basis based on what is determined is prudent and what can be done, maintaining the safety of all that would be coming in contact with each other. Again, the social distancing part. I'm not comfortable right now and confident to say what they're actually providing for or doing in each of the circuits.
Now, you mentioned being involved in a lot of conference calls. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, every day we have a briefing coming from the Oregon Health Authority along with the governor's office that is open to the legislators of the 90 members as well as local elected officials. That happens every afternoon, so that gives us updates as to what's going on. Many of the items that I've been working on, we are doing it through through the Internet. I am in calls and contacts with my judiciary staff. I'm in contact with other components of our legislature. The caucuses are meeting on a as-need basis, and the Senate Democrats have been meeting 2 to 3 days a week as the time permits and the necessity. You know, one of the things that you want to try to do is ensure that people will be able to participate, so you don't want to just have caucusing, just caucus, but as to what is the importance, because many of us are working with our constituents, small businesses included, and trying to help them through this very, very difficult time.
State Senator Floyd Prusansky, about out of time. Any final thoughts to share with folks?
Yes, please follow the orders of social distancing, wash your hands frequently, and for those who are interested, my most recent newsletter just came out yesterday, and it's focusing on issues around small business assistance, payroll protection programs, unemployment, and we're trying to get out information on at least a weekly basis as to the most pressing needs around this virus and how we can address it as a state. I do believe it comes from the community level going up for us to be successful.
All right, State Senator Floyd Prusansky, thanks for joining us this morning.
Kyle, thank you very much. I hope you have a wonderful day and be well.
841 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.